Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll go back in time to seasons past, when 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one final score which would bring victory after 60 minutes of battle on the gridiron. Tonight we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats Football Historic Memorabilia on the Gridiron Greats Publishing and Broadcasting Network, in conjunction with Spook Enterprises. And we're live from the Wallingford, Connecticut home of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'm Bob Swick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats is the only publication in America which focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150-plus years of football history and memorabilia, and you can find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. It is at this time I would like to introduce my co-host, the senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Larger. He hails from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Joe Squires. Joe, welcome to the show this evening.
Always good to be here, Captain. Always good to be here. I can smell playoffs in the air. Football playoffs.
And I have to express my condolences to you to start off the show. fill us in on the debacle in Seattle.
You know, you and I have talked about it a lot. Nobody knows the Achilles heels, the weaknesses of your own team like you do, you know, like the fan does. I mean, you know, the Seahawks may seem spot on at 12-4 early on in the season, Russell Wilson and MVP talk. But just like anything, when you watch and you dig deep, you begin to realize where all of the problems lie. And for Seattle, they were solidly in the defense. I mean, we had four games we lost. We finished 12-4, won the NFC West division.
Mm-hmm.
Second place was the LA Rams at 10-6. We beat them by two games. We split the series with the Rams this year, but our losses were, you could just see people running it down the Seahawks' throat. The defense was porous. At one time, we were ranked like number 26 defense, you know, in the NFL. It's just like, you know, from the outside, you're Green Bay Packers, 13-3. If you just glimpse at this, you're like number one seed in the NFC, first week bye, solid team.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there are things you know about the Packers that, you know, unless you're a solid fan, the other, you know, people don't know. Same with the Seahawks, number three in the NFC. home field advantage, which, you know, when the 12th man is there, makes a big deal. Face our NFC West rival, Los Angeles Rams, ranked number 6, and get bounced at home first week out. Have a little bit of rebuilding next year.
I was a little shocked. And remind me again, who's your defensive coordinator there in Seattle? I couldn't think of it. I was trying to think about it before the show. And
it'll come to me.
But anyways, I agree 200% that the defense didn't even look prepared for the game, and it really didn't make that much sense to me because you knew the Rams were hungry, and they came out like bulldogs out there. You know, seeing what they did. So kind of interesting.
They marched up and down the field at will almost.
Yep. And the only thing that concerns me this Sunday is the Packers traditionally are flat after a 1 week bye. I don't know how this year is going to be different though, because they seem to be a different team than they were in past years. And I don't know, they're playing the Rams, and I don't know how the Rams are going to adjust if it's bad weather out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I agree.
That could be a real big factor in it. So be interesting to see.
Rams quarterback has 3 pins and a broken right thumb. That's his throwing hand. Packers defense is just a lot better. You put the times the Seahawks put some pressure on him. The passes went awry. They weren't as good. The Packers have the ability to do that with the Seahawks don't. The Packers just flat out have a better defense. They can stop the pass. They can get the rush. I don't see them having a problem with the Rams like the Seahawks did. But two teams, the AFC, the Seahawks, the number 3, lost to the number 6 division rival. And over in the AFC, the number 3 Steelers, in the AFC North, lost to their division rival, the number 6 Browns in the AFC North. So two home field division winners losing to their division rivals, both ranked number 6.
Right.
Fascinating. So, Steelers looked good. I had them going to the AFC Championship, to be honest.
Well, I think I don't know. I don't understand the game plan that the Steelers embarked upon, but when you're down 28-0 like that, you really gotta correct yourself
out
fast, because you basically lost the game in the first quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know what happened. That to me was just a complete meltdown. And for the Browns, I gotta give them a lot of credit. I mean, they showed a lot of guts through the whole for what they did.
They had their
They
had their foot on the gas the whole damn game. You see a lot of teams let up, when they get a lead like that and then blow it. But think about that. The AFC North put 3 teams in the playoffs. Pittsburgh at 12-4 and Ravens and Browns both at 11-5. The Dolphins in the AFC East at 10-6 missed the playoffs.
Right.
10-6. And then you swing over to the NFC, where the Washington Redskins at 7-9 won the division.
That's pathetic.
The Super Bowl's definitely being won by, I don't know, definitely is a strong word, but I get the feeling the Super Bowl's being won by an AFC team this year. I think it's the Chiefs and the Packers in the Super Bowl, this year. And that's going to be a good game.
And I would
first time in a long time, the number 1 seeds both meet up.
Be an iconic rematch of Super Bowl, number 1.
Yes,
one.
I do. Yeah.
And the historical value of it would be phenomenal. But again, I still say Chiefs are a good team. But again, what happens if the Browns upset them this week? That would be incredible. That would be incredible.
Yep.
And who knows? The Browns will be playing.
Yep.
Browns are playing and say, we got nothing to lose. So throw anything and everything at them.
Yep. Let's call the game for our view for our listeners here, I'll call the game out. And you tell me what you think, and I'll follow it up. So, number one Chiefs against number six Browns. Who do you got, Captain?
Well, I picked the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns do something. But I still got to go with the Chiefs.
Chiefs, but the Browns make it interesting. That's definitely a good team to watch. I'm digging what the Browns are doing this year, but the Chiefs are just too strong. Okay, our second AFC lineup, number two Bills versus number five Ravens. Who do you got, Captain?
I got the Bills. Bills are the strongest they've ever been in years, and I think they know what's up. They know that they got to win. That's what it comes down to. So I think they're gonna beat them with ease.
Yep, I agree. Bills look strong. I watched the game where the Bills handedly beat the Seahawks, and man, does Josh Allen look good. All right, we're both in agreement. It's the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC Championship. Who wins that?
That I give the edge to the Chiefs. Because of they've been there before, they may be more comfortable. The Bills are still a young team. I can see the Bills down the road being a Chiefs type of team 2-3 seasons in a row. I don't think they're ready for it yet.
Agree. Chiefs represent the AFC and the Super Bowl. I agree with you, Captain. All right, let's swing over to the NFC. Number one Packers against the number six Rams. Do I even need to ask you this?
You don't need to ask me because you know my feelings. At the frozen
Bay,
tundra.
All the way.
Frozen tundra.
Green Bay all
Green
the way.
Green Bay. All
yep.
the way.
I know you have that tattooed across your barreled chest, Captain. Green Bay all the way. All right. Second lineup, second divisional. Saints number two against the Buccaneers number five. This is a good game. What do you got?
I'm going with the Saints. I really think the Saints will do it. I think, Brady's done a lot with what he's had to work with. Don't think he can pull another rabbit out of his hat for the playoffs.
And I'm going Bucs. I think Brady's got it. I think he's got a little bit more left in the tank. I think he's got a very solid supporting cast. The Buccaneers looked amazing against the Washington football team, the Redskins at home, in Washington. I think Brady's got something to prove. I think he does pull a rabbit out of his hat and he beats the Saints. So, it's Packers and Saints in the NFC Championship again. As you rip open your buttoned shirt, exposing the Green Bay all the way tattoo, I'm going to
Green
assume
Bay all the way.
Green Bay.
Green Bay all the way.
And me, for the Packers against the Bucks in the NFC Championship, I am also going to Packers, winning the NFC Championship, representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. So our lineup, doesn't matter how we got there, Chiefs versus Pack. Who do you think wins it, and what's the final score, Captain?
Wait, read that. The final score? What'd you say?
Yeah. Who do you think wins the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl Chiefs versus Packers, and what's the final score?
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm going with the Packers, and I'm going to go out on a limb, 31-24.
Ooh, very good. All right. I don't disagree with you often, Bob. I hate to say it. I think the Chiefs have a little too much in the tank to get beaten. I'm going with the Chiefs on this one, 31-21, I will say.
Woo!
I think the Pack got it.
Woo. Now, let's play a wild card here. Where is the Super Bowl being played this year? In Tampa Bay. So what would say somehow Superman Tom Brady out of the blue somehow beats the Packers on the frozen tundra and then plays a home Super Bowl game. First one of his career. That would be very
first
interesting.
First one in history.
What a,
there's what never a been a home line. Field Super Bowl.
Right. What's the most incredible football situation that could come to being? Tom Brady, second life in Tampa, the Super Bowl in Tampa at the same time. Truly amazing. Truly amazing. So I keep that in the back of my mind, that that's a very strong possibility, especially if they beat the Saints, as you're saying, this Sunday. So this should be pretty interesting. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, either way, this is playoff football. This is what we live for. I love it. I mean, it's a reason to, you know, it gets dark at 4:30 here. It's a reason to be on the couch, drinking a beer, eating chips and salsa, and watching football and some really good games, some really, really good teams. It's like I was saying, you've got, you know, three teams,
and I gotta,
in the AFC North that made the playoffs, and just in the NFC, there's just a couple strong teams. It's just seems like there's not as much parity as there is this year, but you know, a lot of teams went out for COVID. I mean, take Denver for example; they couldn't field a quarterback, you know, in Week 10.
Right.
So,
well, I think also the other thing that gave the playoffs a lot more excitement, you had that extra wild card team, and that made to me for a much better flow of the first week in the playoffs. Why do you need two teams buys in both divisions? Have the best team in each division get the bye, and that's it. You know, they deserve it. They got the number one record. So why not? So
yeah.
I don't know.
Agree.
All right. We'll see what happens in the future. But I know our guest is here, and I'd like to introduce him to our audience at this time. Our special guest tonight has been featured in Gridiron Greats magazine. As a super collector of Cleveland Browns, in particular, Cleveland Brown legend Jimmy Brown. He has now been nominated to the Ford Hall of Fans by Jim Brown. This gentleman has been a guest on our podcast in past years, and I'd like to welcome to our show this evening, Brown super collector and super fan, Ray Shudoff Crispy.
Hey, can I hear that one more time? That intro was amazing. Just one more time.
Ray,
how's it going, guys?
All we need is
the crowd roaring behind you.
Bob's definitely got a flair for that, Ray.
Yes, he does.
Now, Ray, this is the third time you're on our show. We've never had a guest on three times. So,
wow,
you're being honored.
I feel blessed and honored.
And I got to say this: if the National ever is close to where you are, where you're living, I really got to go over and see your museum there, because it just expands every time I. Every time you mention something, there's something new in it. It's just incredible, truly incredible.
I got too much time on my hands, fellas. that's the problem. I got too much time on my head. I'm like, oh, an empty bedroom. What can I do with this?
Wow.
And that's how the Jim Brown room was born. It was like, I got an empty bedroom here. What could I do with this? And
Man, wow. Hey, I got to lead off with the same question I've led off for the third time now. For those in our audience who don't know you, tell us how you got started collecting Cleveland Browns cards and memorabilia.
You start out as a kid with the cards. And I probably collected cards probably from the age of like maybe 7 to about maybe 12. And then I kind of stopped. And I didn't really pick it back up again until I got out the Air Force in 89. And that's kind of when I got, you know, I started with the cards, but then I moved into collecting helmets and then jerseys, and then from jerseys, the pennants, and then from pennants, the bobbleheads. And it's an ongoing saga. It never, the life of a collector, it never stops.
That's true, man. Very true.
Agree.
Unbelievable.
Man, you've got one of the most impressive collections, though. I mean, like you said, your entire, you know, an entire area dedicated. And the other day, just when I thought your collection was that good, what was it? You post up some signatures, Bill Belichick on some benches back, you know, and I'm just like, what? You know, back when he was a coach after Alabama won the BCS, you're like, yeah, check this out. And I'm like, this guy's, you know, Show Dog's collection, the breadth of it is incredible.
But you know what? I bought that probably 3 years ago. And the only reason I really liked it, I mean, it had probably 50 autographs on it, but it had Belichick on it. So I was like, oh, a Belichick piece. Okay, great. And it was under $100. So, I mean, hey, that's a great bargain. And I got a call, and somebody asked me if I had anything from the last time that the Browns won, and that's from that era. So they were over here looking at it, and I started looking, and I said, wait a minute, that's Nick Saban's autograph. And I kept looking at it, and I was like, wow. And then I started looking for more, and then there's so many names on it, front office people, coaches. But yeah, to have Belichick and Nick Saban on the same piece is I've never had one, and it's the only one that I have. So I won't be getting rid of that anytime soon.
Well,
that's a
Show Dog. You listen to the intro where the captain introduces me, and you know every week he's like, you know, Red Grange, you know, Joe Squire is specializing in Red Grange and Steve Largent. I'm a fan. I mean, I've been a Steve Largent fan since I was a kid. I've met him, you know, 4 or 5 times that he knows of. You know, I've obviously snuck in his house a few times, you know. But you are a fan, and you are a true fan. You know, there are Hall of Famers, you know, people that, you know, that exemplify the game. Jim Brown. Jim Thorpe is one of them. Steve Largent is a solid Hall of Famer, but he's not Jim Brown. So to have Jim Brown come to your house to look at your collection and to nominate you for this honor, holy crap. Ray, I've had goosebumps since you posted this up. This is incredible. Just incredible. I'm so proud's not the right word, but I'm honored to share this experience with you. You know, tell our listeners about that, how you found out about it. I mean, just to see Jim Brown knock on your damn door. Oh my gosh. I have goosebumps thinking about it.
Me and you both. So the Ford Hall of Fame contest, it's in the third year. And basically, anybody can enter it. You enter the contest, and they want you to write a paragraph on why you're a super fan, and they want you to send as much pictures, videos that you have, you know, to back up, you know, your claim that, you know, you're a super fan. And they get thousands and thousands and thousands of people who enter this contest, you know, across the nation. So they called me. I'd say probably maybe a month and a half after I initially entered the contest, and they said, hey, congratulations, you made it to the next phase. So I was like, okay, great. So what does that entail? And she said, well, what happens is somebody comes out, and they'll interview you, and they'll videotape some of your stuff, and, you know, that'll be it. So I said, oh, okay, so how many people usually make it to this portion? And she said, oh, about 1,000. So this is where the ruse comes in. They basically were setting me up, because when they came, when the Ford Hall of Fame people came, everybody in the house knew that Jim Brown was coming except me. So they got there bright and early, 8:30 in the morning, and they start videoing, and they did a whole lot of videotaping. And then somewhere in there, we did the interview, and then we had to break for lunch. So after lunch, we were back in one of the rooms doing some more filming. When one of the staff members, she yelled out and she said, "Hey, Ray, somebody's knocking at your door. Were you expecting somebody?" And I was like, "No," but I didn't really think nothing of it because I just figured it was either a staff member or a camera person that had got locked out. So I go to the door, and I open up the door, and there in his Hall of Fame jacket is Jim Brown. And to be honest with you, I had to play back the tape because I don't remember what he said because I was just kind of stuck. But what brought me out of it, though, out of the corner of my eye, I seen his wife. And I've been to a lot of shows, and she usually accompanies. Matter of fact, we kind of had a little thing going. She was always like, she'd always see me. She's like, "Okay, what are you getting signed today?" So she immediately recognized me, and I recognized her. So I kind of snapped out of it. Then, you know, I was kind of like a 12-year-old. I was like, Mr. Brown, come here. You want to see? Let me show you this. Let me show you my toys. It was one of those kind of things. But the really cool part was him and his wife, when they came back to the Jim Brown room, I was kind of explaining things to her because I figured that she didn't know a lot of things. So it was kind of cool. We ended up spending 20 minutes back here, and people kept on coming, telling them, we got to go, and she kept waving them off. So it was really a cool situation. And then we went back, and, you know, he's seen the rest of the house. He signed a couple things for me. That was cool. The Hall of Fame, there was a Hall of Fame gentleman that accompanied him. He had him sign a jersey that he brought. And then I had, again, you signed my jacket. I ran and got the jersey, but he signed that as well. So it was a great day. And then this morning when I got up, I said, "Wait a minute. Your camera," because I got cameras all through the house, and I was like, "Wait a minute. The cameras had to catch everything." So I went back.
Oh. Ray, you kind of broke up there. Bob, is that just on my end or is it on your end too? You kind of broke up there.
No, I think Ray, you broke up. You there, Ray?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, okay. Now we can hear you. You broke up a little bit there, but you checked the cameras and what did you see?
No, I just went back. I got house cameras and I was able to relive the whole moment all over again.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
What the,
hey, Ray, I gotta say though, I've watched that little video of Jimmy Brown coming into your house at least 20 times now. And
me too.
I'm dead serious. You know, and what's so cool for me, you know, we've met at the National a few times, you know, we've talked on the phone, email, yada yada yada. You're a longtime subscriber to the magazine. I just felt so good that somebody who has the passion that you have for the Cleveland Browns and for Jim Brown finally gets recognized for the whole country to see that this is what fans do. And especially in football, it's been too long that the super collector, the super fan, really hasn't gotten the recognition they really should get. And I know Jim Brown and his wife are very grateful for your you know, being a big fan of his. I know they appreciate that. But for me to see other collectors and other fans see that, it's just so cool for me. It's just great.
Well,
I'll let you go back.
You know,
right.
To
what you're saying.
Go ahead.
Ray, I want to hear you talk about this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I was just going to add on to it. You know, it's the sport collectors community. They really turned out and support as well. You know, with the voting process, because you know that Sports Collectors Daily. They did an article and a great article, and I wasn't even aware of it. But then just across the board, all the collectors, I mean, everywhere, from the autographs, because, you know, the collectors is broken up into a lot of different categories and subcategories. And they're all, everybody is turning out in support. So I agree, and I know exactly what you mean when you say, you know, for the collectors to finally get some recognition. It's a hump. This has been a humbling experience. It really is, because I just started out by just entering the contest, really not giving it another thought other than, oh, okay, well, maybe I might get something or maybe I won't. But never in a thousand million years did I think it would turn into this.
Right. Was there something that, you know, when Jim Brown is meandering through your collection and you're showing him stuff, was there anything that you showed him where he's like, wow, I've never seen that before? Were there some items that he was really impressed with? Like, I don't remember that.
Well, the main thing was, and it's always a cool trivia question. Jim, his rookie year, he wore three different numbers. And yep, I have the three jerseys that depict that. And so that was the main thing that I was explaining to his wife. And he was like, it was kind of funny because he was shaking. He was like, I don't remember that. And I was like, well, yeah, in the Pro Bowl that year, somebody had 32, so you had to wear number 6. And then the very first game, you know, first preseason game, you wore 45. And so, 45. You know, I'm just going through that whole thing, and his wife was like, oh, okay, and he was like, yeah, I don't remember that either. But no, the main thing that really caught him off guard, he did a movie, it was called Jim Brown All-American, and Spike Lee was the director of that movie, and it was in limited theater, so they had a theater-sized poster for it. So when we left the room, my whole hallway is lined with Cleveland Brown posters. But at the very end of the hall, I have that huge poster, and Spike Lee signed it, and he signed it. So we're coming down the hall, and he said, oh, big fella, oh, man. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, I haven't seen that picture in 20 years. And earlier in the day, the camera guys, they were asking me, because in the picture, he's holding a baby. I mean, it's almost like a newborn baby in his arms. And the camera guys were asking me, was that his child or was that, you know, a model or something? And I said, you know, I really don't know. So when he seen the picture, I asked him, I said, well, is that your baby? He said, yeah, that's my son. And I was like, oh, and I have like three extra ones, and I should have just grabbed. I wasn't thinking, but I'm sure, hopefully I'll see him again, but I should have got one of those posters and gave it to him.
Wow.
Yeah, the video shows, on the Bleacher Report, the frozen frame where, you know, you have play is, you know, you and Jim, you know, standing in your basement holding a, you know, a 32 Jim Brown jersey and just, you know, him in his golden jacket and just incredible. Man.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That would have been the time to hit him up for that jacket. Like, you know, hey, Jim, you know, you mind, I'll trade you this poster for that jacket.
Well, see, here's the thing. I have somebody on eBay was making Hall of Fame jackets, and I had him sign the one that I have. But when he came in with his on, I looked at mine, and I was like, you know, that's not quite the same color. So yeah, that's one of my when we get to that part about things that you're trying to get, that's on my to-do list to get is one of those a real Hall of Fame jacket.
Now, before we go any further, I want our listening audience to remember this website, FordHallOfFans.com. That's FordHallOfFans.com. You'll see Ray's little feature on it with five other fans, and you're going to vote for Ray. That's what we want. Hopefully you're going to do, and we'll talk about it a little more toward the end of the show. But again, what an experience that was. That's incredible. Truly incredible. Truly incredible. Did you sleep that night?
No. to be honest, it plays over and over and over in my head, and it's like, man, all I can say is that's the only thing I can say. This has been a very humbling experience. I mean, just the whole him coming and then all the fan base supporting, the team supporting, the military community supporting, the sports collector community supporting. It's just, I mean, it's just support coming from everywhere. It's just
great.
It's just very humbling experience.
That's great. I love it. I couldn't ask, honestly, for somebody to be nominated. I couldn't say there wasn't a better candidate than you because of your passion with the Cleveland Browns. So that leads me to my next question, and you talked about this numerous times. What's the top six in all the different things that you got?
Has it changed since Jim Brown
It has completely changed. Matter of fact, I don't think I have anything from the old list.
Okay.
So the top two things are the two items that he signed when he was here. He signed, like I said, he signed a 32 jersey for me, and he signed my it's the cream color sideline jacket. So those are my top two right now. Coming in at number three, I just recently found, and this is just a follow the Jim Brown thing. I found the 1960 Topps Jim Brown tattoo, and it's on an uncut sheet.
Oh, you did find it. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, the thing, it wasn't. I always knew where it was. I just didn't know if I wanted to spend the money for it.
Okay.
So I finally got that. At number four is, we talked about this earlier too, that toboggan that has Bill Belichick and Nick Saban on it. Man, that's especially now because what Nick Saban has, like, what, seven championships now?
Rings.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That's a piece. After that, at number five, it used to be the stadium that I had. It was a scale stadium of the new stadium. It's like five foot by 3 foot. Well, I recently had the old stadium built, and it's probably it's about the same size. But it's so detailed, and it's the old lady on the lake, and it has the baseball infield because, you know, the Browns always, you could always see, like, especially late in winter, you could see the lines from the baseball diamond. And then lastly, I would say I have a 5 foot by 3 foot. Kodak took a picture of the 64 during the 64 championship game. And then they mounted it on this, like, plaster wood or whatever you want to call it, and they presented it to Art Modell. And I was able to acquire it, and I was lucky to get probably 95% of all the living 1964 players on it.
Wow.
That Topps tattoo has been your avatar, you know, for a long time.
Right, for a long time.
You've talked about it.
Right.
You've talked about it before. What's the story behind that? I was completely unfamiliar with that until you spoke about it, Lasco.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, to me, I want to get every oddball Jim Brown, especially like during the 60s, you know, while he was playing. And that was one of them. And I've only seen one that actually came from the pack. Matter of fact, one of the guys in our group, he has it. So I've only seen one, and then the uncut sheet. So I went ahead and pulled the trigger on the uncut sheet, so I can kind of mark that off of my whale list.
Wow,
outstanding! Wow. So you said your number one list now was a jersey that Jimmy Brown signed for you in your basement. Was it? Is that an authentic, a replica jersey? How come it wasn't?
No. It's a replica. Go ahead. And just to correct you, my stuff. No, this is all in the house. There is no basement. Matter of fact, we don't even have a. I mean, we have a basement, but it's not a useful basement. So yeah, no. This is See, I live in a ranch style house.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Right. Oh, no, it's fine.
I live in the Northwest. I live in the Northwest. We all have basements up here, so I just assumed.
Right.
My bad.
Right. So, yeah, no, it's just one big stretched out. It's like my dad, he's like, well, let me add a room here. Okay, let me add another room. So there's just, So big size ranch, and everything is spread out. So, but, yeah, back to that tattoo. Yeah, that tattoo, because the thing is, kids used them. You know, they would lick their wrist and then put the tattoo on it, and then boom, that was it. So that's probably why there's not a lot of them, any of them around.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that's probably one of the rarest Topps inserts around. And you know, honestly, in all the years I've collected, I think I've seen one at a National, and that's about it. And it's pricey to say the least. So. I mean, to get the Jim Brown one is just incredible, in my opinion. So.
Right. So yeah, that was probably one of the last big oddball items from when he was playing that I didn't have. That tattoo. Well, I take that back. I mean, I have a bazooka, but I would love to get the full bazooka box with the Jim Brown card on the back.
Yep.
But I'm sure that I won't ever find that.
So going back to that, the jersey that you had him autograph when he was there, was that just one you had that hadn't been autographed yet, or what's the story there?
No. The gentleman from the Hall of Fame, he brought it with him.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Yeah, he had Jim Brown sign it right in the room, and then Jim Brown gave it to me.
Incredible.
Wow.
That's a keepsake.
The off script for a second here. Obviously, the new Cleveland Stadium. So when they had the National in Cleveland, I came in a day early, and I walked around the outside of the stadium, saw the statues and all that stuff. Pretty, very, very cool. I went into the little gift shop there, although there was nobody there, and I just poked around. My question to you, if you get elected to this, is the stadium actually going to do something for you outside of the stadium, like a plaque or something? Have you heard anything, or you don't know?
That's a great, great question, and what I'm hoping is – I can use this platform to possibly get a museum put back in the stadium. I could care less about a plaque for me. I would want to have, because all your better teams, they all have a museum right there at the stadium. So, you know, with the Browns' rich history, you know, I don't see why not.
Yeah, they definitely would use it, because that's, you know, again, all those nice statues outside the stadium, the plaques there on that wall there, from what I remember, you know, they could have a real nice stadium. It would be really very attractive, because you go to that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then you just cross the couple blocks there, and you're at the stadium. So it would be easy, and also it would be very attractive in the off season that you'd have, you know, you could do both tours type of thing. So, exactly.
So yeah, that's the game plan. So we'll see. Baby steps for now.
Right. Well, I mean, you just got a Hall of Fame jersey autographed by Jim Brown in your damn house. You just picked up your your Topps tattoo. What is left? What's on your wallet? I mean, I've seen the video of your house. You've got a museum. I fancy myself a collector. You put me to shame, sir. What's on your want list?
Okay, so they had a renovation at the stadium is it Gary Thomas, the artist who does all the goal line art cards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so Gary Thomas also did the pictures that stood behind every bust. And I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, it was taking up too much space, so they brought a contractor in to take out all those the pictures behind it. Well, somebody just presented to me they have the Jim Brown one that was behind his bust. So I'm probably going to go pick that up tomorrow. So on my want list, before that even came to the picture, on my want list, I want a Jim Brown bust. That's like a missing piece. I would love to get a Jim Brown bust.
So Gray, I want to see you write that down on a list and then cross it off, you know, because you're going to go get it, man. Incredible. Every damn day at the Show Dog House.
And so then if I'm fortunate enough to get the bust, then I want to get, and it doesn't even have to be new. They can give me an old faded Hall of Fame jacket, just a Hall of Fame jacket that I can get Jim Brown to sign.
Incredible. Just incredible.
So those are my two. And like I said, the 59 bazooka box with the Jim Brown card on the back. Those are my three things that I'd love to get. The bust, the Hall of Fame jacket, and a 59 bazooka box.
Wow. Hey, I gotta ask you a question. And this just
yes,
popped
sir.
In my mind. It's off script again. You remember when the last National was in Cleveland, obviously, because you were there.
I do.
And,
yes.
Did you know the dealer who was set up that had all those Cleveland Brown team sets in his area? He had them all in binders. He had a couple bookcases there, and he was trying to sell everything all at once or whatever. And I talked to him briefly. I mean, the stuff was so cool to go through. I mean, he literally had every card. But I'm just curious, did you know that guy by any chance? Or...
And you say he had Cleveland Brown team sets?
Yeah, and they're all in sheets and binders. And he had at least 100 binders there of all the cards. And he was trying to sell the whole collection at once. And then toward the end of the show, he started breaking it up. I'm just curious if you knew the guy. I always wondered about that guy. So.
Yeah, no, because the thing is, once I got all my Brown team set, I've kind of moved away from cars, other than the funeral.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even think I see any.
Okay. Mm. All right. Yeah, he was like opposite from where we were, all the way on the other side of the show there, and he was on the other side of the Ferris wheel over there, all the way in the back. We were in the front of the area, so. But,
okay.
I was just curious.
Okay.
So you got the big three on your want list.
Those are the big three.
I'm sure you'll pick them up with no problem whatsoever. Do you have any advice? Now, you're one of the most advanced, you are the most advanced Cleveland Brown collector in the country, in my opinion. Do you have any advice for any beginning collector who's starting to collect stuff? And if so, what might it be?
If they're into autographs, I would just say, hey, go to the training camp, mail-ins. There's a lot of mail-ins now. But, I mean, it's so different from when we collected, because, you know, you could get a pack of cards for a quarter, and now they're worth $5. So you kind of got to have deep pockets starting out if you're going to start, you know, if you're going to start with the collecting cards. But I would just say, collect whatever fun, and I would start, to be honest with you, I would start off with doing mail-in stuff, because you can get so many mail-in stuff for free if you write a nice little letter and say, hey, listen, I'm a new, and especially if it's a kid and he puts the picture on there in there too, you should probably get anything. But yeah, I would just say just have fun with it and have some deep pockets.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Just unbelievable.
I'm impressed. I'm just impressed. Ray, yeah.
I think we're
all right, Ray.
All
who are you?
Ray, no kidding. You made us speechless because we don't know what to say. I mean, All the years I've been looking at people's collections and everything. I mean, I've been floored at some stuff, but to see yours, yeah. I'm speechless from it. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just incredible. It's truly incredible, and the way you got everything displayed is just so perfect, and it's so, you know, it's like walking in a museum, for crying out loud. It's incredible.
That was the effect that I was going for, and thank you for your kind words.
Yeah, that's a great way Bob put it. Speechless. Bob said you're the premier Cleveland Browns collector. I would remove that Cleveland Browns asterisk. Yeah, you are one of the premier collectors we've ever spoken to. We've spoken to a lot of people on this show. I don't know anyone who's had Jim Brown come to their house. You know, that's just incredible, Ray.
Guys, that's the blessing. Because somebody asked me, well, what if you win? What if you don't win? I'm like, are you serious? I already won. Jim Brown came to my house. I already won. What are you talking about? I mean, yeah. So no. This is anything after Jim Brown coming to my house is like the dessert, because I've already had the main course.
Absolutely.
And again,
quick question for you, Ray. This Sunday, the Cleveland Browns take on the Kansas City Chiefs for the playoffs. Who do you got and why?
37-34 Cleveland. Cleveland's going to jump out to a big lead. Yeah. Cleveland's going to jump out to a big lead. Then they're going to release them horses and slow the game down, keep Mahomes off the field. Mahomes is going to make a comeback late in the game, but it's not going to be enough.
You heard it here. Wow. 37-34, Cleveland upsets the number one and AFC ranked Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes goes home empty-handed.
And I can see on the sideline already Andy Reid, expressionless, staring in space. With that deer in the headlight look, what just happened?
What the hell happened? Yeah.
I can just see it.
Before Ray goes
again, FordHallOfFans.com, FordHallOfFans.com, and get in there and vote if you haven't voted for Ray. I know we have a massive network of individuals who are voting for Ray as the number one fan. Probably the number one fan in the sport of fans, for crying out loud. I don't see how they make me compete with you some of the other years.
Ray, do they let you know any indication on how the voting is going? I mean, you've released the Kraken on all of our collections.
Here's the thing. You don't have to be a collector to be a fan. Because last year, one of the winners, she made puppets. She didn't have a collection at all. So it's not the criteria isn't only as a collector. I just happen to get in because I'm a collector. But you got guys that one guy he dresses up for the game. He's never missed a game in 20 years. So there's just all different fandoms out there. So And the thing is, you never know how the vote is going, so I always feel like I'm behind. So I need you to get out there, www.FordHallOfFans.com. FordHallOfFans.
You heard it from the super fan, the number one fan in the country of the Cleveland Browns. So let's see some votes up. This is going to go up. This podcast will go be uploaded in about 20-25 minutes, so. It could shut down the servers at FordHallOfFans.com. Hopefully, the people vote.
Hey guys, thank you. Thank you guys so much, man. I really appreciate you. I appreciate this. I'm living a dream.
One more thing. When you get your next issue of Gridiron Greats magazine, which is in the mail, you also see. I put it in my column for this issue, and although it came out a little later than expected, hopefully it gets a few more votes from there, too, so hopefully it'll work out. Good man.
Ray. Thank you.
Shut up. Crispy. number one Cleveland Browns fan in America on Gridiron Greats, the podcast thing. Ray, thanks for being on. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow. Cap.
Joe. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I'm just speechless.
That is
tonight.
Collector royalty there. Literally, like, you summed it up. We're speechless. He's always, you know, Show Dog's always had an impressive collection. I mean, we had him on a show, 8 years ago when I bought the, 46, Sears Cleveland Brown Untouched. I was talking to him on the phone and realized how massive of a collection, you know, this gentleman had. He's pantheon of collectors. I don't know anyone who's had Jim Brown come to their home. I mean, when you think about top five Hall of Famers, Jim Brown's on there.
Right.
Incredible.
Just an amazing collection. And again, this is the beauty of our hobby, because we have collectors like Ray and others who are passionate about their collections. They have amazing collections. It's just incredible. It's just incredible to talk to him again for the third time now, and listen to his story. And I truly hope he does win this Hall of Fans contest, because he really deserves it, to say the least. Truly deserves it. We're entering in our 2-minute warning and wrap up, and Joe, I'm going to hand off to you to get started tonight.
Solidly, the amount of people that have voted a dozen times for Ray just on our vintage football card community, our VFC community, should carry the day. To your average fan, even if he reaches out to friends, or to the other five people on that, the Ford fandom, if they reach out to everybody they know, it's not enough.
Yep.
For the 100 plus people on our VFC community voting. So I sincerely see Ray winning this, walking away.
I hope so. And again, I'm not gonna get excited until the day it's drawn and he's announced, hopefully. And then I'll say that's one of my best moments in memorabilia, football memorabilia, is knowing someone, getting that honor, and someone who deserves that honor like he does for his collection, because it's incredible. He is a super fan. I don't care what anybody says. And again, like he said, that not everybody is a collector on who's been nominated. There are people that, go game in and game out, so on and so forth. And I remember, if this is the same thing, either in the first or the second year they did it, there's a guy who dresses up for the New York Jet games who's in like a they call him the chief. He has a fire chief helmet on, and he's been to literally every game, for 25 years, 30 years or whatever. And you see him at a game. I've seen him the several times I've seen the Jets play, and he's a super fan, but he's not a super collector. You know what I mean? There's the difference. Ray's a super fan and a super collector. And that can't be beat, as far as I'm concerned.
Can't be beat. Without a doubt. Yeah.
I'm
a fan. You, as I mentioned, you rattle off Red Grange and Steve Largent at the introduction to each show. You know what my Red Grange collection is. Nothing in my collection compares, to Jim Brown knocking on my door.
Right. Exactly. We're almost down to a minute. Check out our website, gridirongreatsmagazine.com. If you're not a subscriber, what are you waiting for? Gridirongreatsmagazine.com. Wrapping it up.
Exactly.
10 seconds, Joe. Last thoughts.
Stunned. Just stunned. Some good football this weekend, Captain. I will be texting the crew, enjoying the banter.
Should be some interesting games. And, man, oh, man, if Cleveland beats Kansas City, that'll be amazing. And who knows?
Not a doubt.
The football gods may be talking up there, and they're saying, hey, we're going to switch things around a little this season.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back hopefully next week with another podcast. Until then, take care.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.